these verses here from Psalm 51 and verse, beginning with verse number 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Amen. Of course, we know that Psalm 51 is a psalm of repentance, and that David is repenting before the Lord after the terrible sin that he committed with Bathsheba, and he did not want to lose his connection with the Lord. He didn't want to lose the blessing of the Spirit of God upon him. And so he's asking the Lord, create in me a clean heart. Only you can do this, Lord. It has to be a work of creation. You have to make me clean. I can't do it myself. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And then he says, whenever this work of purifying of my heart takes place, then sinners will be converted. Then God will work and move. The purer in heart shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see the hand of God. They'll witness the presence of God. They'll witness the hand of the Lord in their life. I think that when we pray, I think we understand that our prayers are important, and how we approach God is important. It's very important that we come before the Lord personally with a pure heart and a clear heart, a clean heart and a clear conscience before the Lord. Several scriptures that relate to our prayers getting through. Do you ever feel like that you pray and you pray and you pray and it doesn't seem like that you're not really accomplishing much. You're not really having much of an effect. Well, there's a whole lot of factors that can be involved in that, but a few that I think are very obvious from the Word of God that we can take notice of here. And I'm going to get to what I'm talking about here in just a few minutes, just kind of laying the foundation for this. Our prayers can be hindered. Sometimes they're hindered because the enemy is attacking us, and he doesn't want our prayers to go through, like Daniel, who had prayed and sought the Lord for those 21 days, but there was a demonic hindrance to those prayers. But finally, he broke through even the demonic hindrances. Sometimes the hindrances are in our own life, things that we have allowed to have an effect upon us, and as a result, our prayers are hindered, and we're not accomplishing what we need to accomplish. Psalm 66 and 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if you allow things into your heart, and you allow things to wickedness and iniquity and evil and self-will and all of these things to control your life, then there's like a hindrance, a roadblock that is thrown up to your ability to get a prayer through. Sometimes we pray, the scripture says, and we're not getting anywhere in our prayers because we are asking with wrong motives. Amen. We're asking amiss, the scripture says. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. You're praying about things, you're asking things for things, and you are not praying. It's selfish, and it's for your own good and for your own desires, and even sometimes your selfish lust. And as a result, that prayer is not going through because of a wrong motive. Sometimes our prayers don't get through because we have aught or unforgiveness toward someone. And so we bring our gift to the altar, and the admonition of the scripture is, leave your gift there. Go and take care of the problem. If you have aught against someone, or someone has aught against you, then you go to them and you resolve that issue with them. And then you return to the altar. Then your prayers can go through because you have had unforgiveness or you're holding offenses or aught against someone or someone against you. Another reason why we don't get our prayers through sometimes is because we're not compassionate. We're stingy and we're not willing to take notice of those that are in need. That's what the Bible says. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. And so a person who's just consumed with their own needs and never noticing others in need, those who have genuine needs that you can be used of the Lord to minister to them and to help them, sometimes it's a lack of compassion. I'm just going through a few of these reasons why that maybe your prayers are not going through, and my prayers aren't going through. Sometimes it can be called because of relationships, even in the family, the Bible says. There can be problems between husband and wife. And the Scripture says that as a result of that relation that is not what it should be, the Bible says that you are supposed to be heirs of the grace of life together. You're supposed to be, that your prayers be not hindered, that there can be broken fellowship in the household, in the family, between a couple, and as a result, the prayers are hindered. So those are some things to consider this morning when you're thinking about, my prayers aren't going through, and there are other things, scriptural things that we could talk about. I just want to stop right there and talk about another subject completely akin to our need to pray, but also the importance of us understanding how that we need to approach unto the Lord. How that we need to come to the Lord. 2007, there was this report on the BBC that while hospitalized in southern Russia, a lady by the name of Alina Kuritsna heard muffled cries from the room next to her room. She investigated and discovered it was the sound of a baby crying. The more that she looked around that floor of the hospital, she found out that that floor was filled with babies. And all of the babies had their mouths taped over with a medical tape so that they couldn't actually cry out. And so they were muffled cries. And so she was so upset about it that she talked to one of the attendants and they said, there's too many of these children, orphan children, and we can't meet all of their needs. And so this is a practice. And they found out after investigation that they would do this for as long as a year, that their mouth would be covered and taped up so that they could not cry out. I can't imagine that, but anyway, she took her cell phone and videotaped that, and the BBC picked up on it, and that video was transmitted all over the world. A lot of things were done to take care of the problem there. But you don't have to be a psychologist to know the deep implications of what can happen whenever a child, a little baby, cannot get a response to their cry. It is a devastating thing that happens to children around the world who cry and nobody hears their cries. I have personally been in some of those kind of institutions. I have seen little babies laying in cribs. And sometimes those clinics and orphanages are eerily quiet because little babies have given up. They've cried and cried and cried. And no one came to their aid, and so they have laid there in that bed and stopped crying because no one would come to help them. I know this is overwhelming to consider, but it's just the truth. So as a result, they become silent in those beds. And the only thing that will console them is they will rock themselves back and forth because they don't have the things that normal babies need, such as someone to feed them, someone to hold them, someone to caress them, someone to love them, to talk to them. And so those little babies lay there in that bed all by themselves, day in and day out, and weeks and months go by. And in that extreme case, in that hospital in Russia, their mouths were even taped to where their cries couldn't be heard. Eventually, they get sometimes so into such a condition that they have to have some sort of stimulation. They rock themselves, and they will sometimes beat their heads on the sides of the crib because no one is paying attention to them. No one will hear their cries. And that's a pretty upsetting thought, isn't it? It's very upsetting if you see it firsthand. But I have to tell you that there's a great lesson in this for us to understand that the importance of you and me as the children of God and what it means whenever we learn how to cry out before God in our times of need. That we learn what it is to call upon the Lord and to cry out to the Lord in our times of need. We know that all through the Scripture, that we have so many verses that admonish us to prayer. But you'll notice when you go through the Scripture that there are dozens and dozens of verses that talk about not just prayer, but distinguishing from prayer those that would literally lift up their voice and cry out to God. They would lift up the sound of their voice. Do you know that God, your Heavenly Father, wants to hear your cry? He loves the sound of your voice. Amen. Any father or mother wants to hear the sound of the voice of their child. That's a normal response. Amen. So with the miracle of cell phones now, we can hear from our children's voices on a regular basis, even though that they're hundreds of miles away from us. And now they have a thing called FaceTime. Is that what it's called? FaceTime. And on your cell phone or on your little iPad, it can come up and you can actually talk to them face to face. It's a miracle, isn't it? That all these wonders of technology are available. You know how fathers and mothers that are normal fathers and mothers do whenever they hear the need or the cry of their child? They are immediately ready to respond. No delay. They're ready. If one of my girls called me today and said, "Dad, I need you here now," well, I would be looking for the next flight out of here. And Marcia would be about 20 steps ahead of me. Because that's the way fathers and mothers are. You care about your children. And especially if they have a cry of need, the cry of help is something that you respond to. How much more does your Heavenly Father love to hear your voice? And He loves to hear you raise your voice and cry out to the Lord in your times of need. It's interesting because in the Bible, the Old Testament, of course, is written in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek, translated from those languages. And it's interesting because the Hebrew language, it uses several words, maybe five or more different words to describe the prayers or the call or the cry of the people of God. It's interesting, it's not the same word, and each one of them have a little bit of a different meaning. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, which is one of my favorite verses in all of the Scripture, and I've used it and taught from it and preached from it many, many times. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." That word there, to call unto me, the Hebrew word, is a word Q-A-R-A, kara, and that word means to call out loud or to cry out loud. Call unto me, to lift up your voice. If you'll call unto me, He's promised, I will answer. I will answer if you'll call out to me. The same word is used in Psalm 145. And the psalmist David, it's all through the writings of the Psalms, this whole idea of calling out to the Lord and crying out to the Lord, it's all through the Psalms, but Psalm 145 and verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. Those that cry out to the Lord and they lift up their voice unto the Lord. God wants to hear your voice. God wants to hear you calling upon Him. And once you've come before the Lord and you've said, Lord, I want a clean heart and a clean conscience before You. And once you've come before Him and allowed Him to deal with areas of your life that are not pleasing to Him, then you can come boldly before the Lord. Then you can come with confidence before the Lord. And you can ask what you will. And God has promised that He'll hear your cry and He'll help you in your need if you'll call upon the Lord. Another Hebrew word is the word hama. It means a loud murmur or a roar. It's in Psalm 50 in verse 15 that word is used. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. A loud call, a loud roar, lifting up your voice before the Lord. You remember the children of Israel when they were down there, all those many generations in the bondage of Egypt, that God said, I have heard the cry of my people. It's come up before me. And so now He has devised a means and a plan for the children of Israel to be delivered from that Egyptian bondage. And He was going to use Moses, and He was going to provide a way of escape for them, because those people had cried out unto the Lord, and their cry had come up before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Another Hebrew word is the word shava. It means a high-pitched shout for help. A high-pitched shout for help. Psalm 18 and 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord. This is David, the Shava, saying, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. Hallelujah. Amen. Another passage is in Psalm 34 that He uses that word, the Shava, a high-pitched shout or cry for help. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, there are times that you find yourself in some kind of circumstance, some kind of a trouble, and you can't even come up with the words. You don't even know hardly how to pray about it. And you just lift up your voice in a cry unto the Lord for help. Amen. Amen. How many times have you experienced that you didn't know what else to say except just to say, help, Lord. Help us, Lord. Deliver us, Lord, in this day of trouble. Come to our rescue, Lord. And the Lord has promised that He'll hear the cry of His people, and He will deliver them out of all of their trouble. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Another Hebrew word. It also means to lift up your voice with a shout. The Hebrew word rina. It means, the verses are Psalm 34 and 17, which I just read. And then Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants to hear your voice, just like you love to hear the voice of your children or the voice of your grandchildren, and that you are ready to help them and you're ready to minister to them. That's the response of your Heavenly Father who hears your cry. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Two places in the New Testament, it describes the kind of relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. Romans 8 and 15 and Galatians 4 and 6. It says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Both of those words mean the same thing, actually. Abba means the same thing as Father. But whenever the words are used, whenever there is the double emphasis of a word, it raises the intensity. It raises the meaning and even the emotion of it. And even the closeness, the intimacy of it. So most translate this to mean that we cry, Daddy, Daddy, or Papa. That we cry. It's an intimate, close, because we know that He is a Heavenly Father who hears us when we cry unto Him. Hallelujah. You know, all children, even if they were the children of servants in scriptural times, Bible times, they did not have the privilege of sons unless they were adopted into the family. All the servants and the servants' children, they could never use the term father or dad, daddy, to their master. But after they were adopted, they didn't have to be fearful. That's what it's talking about here. That we now are able, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We don't live in that kind of, as a slave or as a servant, but because we are children of God and we are born of God, then we call Him Abba, Father, Daddy. We call Him the close one, close, intimate one to us, because we can call upon His name at any time, and we don't have to be fearful, because we know He's our Heavenly Father and He knows what we're in need of, and He will come to our rescue when we lift up our voice. Hallelujah. Galatians 4 and 6, the same theme. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, because you're born again and born of the Spirit and adopted into the family of God, you know you have every right and every privilege of a child even born in that household. So you can cry, Abba, Father, and He will come to you and help you in your need. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. We are to be reminded here this morning that we have an opportunity and a privilege, because of the fact that we have been born of the Spirit of God. We are sons and daughters. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Because of who we are and the privilege we have of knowing Jesus Christ. Because you have been born again of the Spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have direct access. Hallelujah. I love those little pictures of John Kennedy Jr. playing around the desk of President Kennedy. You've seen those, I'm sure. Those are great pictures, because here he is, the most powerful man in the world, but the Son has access. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's you and me. We have access. We have access. We're welcomed into His presence. You say, I don't know, I don't feel worthy. You're His son. You're His daughter. You're welcome. You're welcome to cry out to Him. And He's going to come to help you. He'll rescue you. If you'll lift up your voice, He will hear your cry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Those little children in those orphanages, they live in despair for the most part. 80% of those horrible places have been changed in many of those Eastern European countries. But I read an article this weekend, it is not totally abolished. 20% of those orphanages are still open, and they're still despicable. And children and babies are neglected, and they still cry, and nobody comes to help them. It's an overwhelming illustration of just the opposite of what it is for you and me, and how privileged that we are to come before the Lord and to cry out to the Lord in our times of need. And no matter what your situation is, God hears your cry today. He hears your cry. When you lift up your voice, He will hear your cry. How many times have you been in just, you know, in some situation, maybe in a circumstance on the road? I was thinking earlier this morning, we were expecting Erica, and we were using a church van. This was in St. Louis, and I think it was January, February. The roads were horrible. And Marcia was supposed to sing in a wedding on the other side of town. And we were driving over in this horrible weather in that van. If you know anything about church vans, they're always horrible in icy, snowy weather. But we, as we got off of the interstate and headed down to this church, it was a hill. And we started down that hill. And as we got down a ways, suddenly the van went sideways and it just started sliding. I know that there wasn't any real profound prayers being prayed that night, but I do know that we were saying, "Oh, Jesus, help us, help us." And somehow that vehicle got stopped before an accident took place, something horrible that could have happened that night. But God heard our cry. And many of you, no doubt, have examples of that and stories that of real life events in your life where you didn't have time to really pray a prayer, but you just cry out to the Lord for help. And He heard you and He helped you in the circumstance that you were in. Hallelujah. You see, we're His children. We need His help. We need His divine wisdom and protection. And because of that, we need to be reminded this morning that we are His children. And that we belong to Him. And our attitude toward God should be that we understand that He is our Heavenly Father. And He's not looking on, you know, with a scowl of hatred or disapproval. But instead, He's our Father that is looking upon us today. And He wants us to reach out to Him. He wants us in our need to call upon Him. He wants us to use words and lift up our voice and say, "Lord, come and rescue me. Come and help me. Come and answer my prayer. Come and deliver me from my present situation." Oh, and what a privilege we have as sons and daughters, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. And the enemy, he loves to lie to you and to cause you to think that God is afar off and that God is not going to help you in your need. Oh, what a liar. What a liar this Satan is. He wants to convince you that you're all alone and that no one is hearing your cry. And no one is concerned about you. Well, all the world around us, there's a lot of people that may know about your need and know about your circumstance, but for the most part, men can't help you, but your Heavenly Father can. Hallelujah. He can help you. He can touch you. He can strengthen you. He can heal you. He can move to in your time of need. And so we need to come to Him today and we need to cry out to the Lord. Hallelujah. So often, our words are just words that, you know, are words of hopelessness and faithlessness. And we see no way out and no answer. But we need to be reminded this morning of who we are. And because of Jesus Christ, that we are His sons, His daughters, and that we have direct access to the throne of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I just wonder this morning, before we all pray together, I just wonder if there would be some of you here today that the Spirit of God just talking right directly to you, just as He has to me through these passages of Scripture, that you feel like, "Lord, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and it's not, I'm not seeing answers." But have you really prayed? Have you really lifted up your voice in crying out to God for help? Have you truly trusted the Lord and lifted up your voice crying before the Lord? Even Jesus Himself cried out. The Scripture says that He cried out. Hebrews 5:7. Who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me tell you, the cross was not a defeat. The tomb was not a defeat. Jesus had the last word. Yes, before he cried out in the garden. Yes, he shed tears beforehand. And he cried out for deliverance. And he went through that circumstance and that horrible ordeal of the cross and of death and the tomb. But that was not the end of the story. Hallelujah. And we cry out to the Lord. And you can be sure, as a son or a daughter, you will know that God will write the last chapter of your story. Hallelujah. He will come. You may not understand why or what's going on in your problem that seems to go on and on and on. Well, the story isn't all told yet. And God's going to write the last chapter, and it is going to be a chapter of rescue and victory. Hallelujah. And all the things that you're experiencing and you're wondering, Lord, why am I having to endure some of these trying times? I want you to know that God has heard every cry, and he's heard you lifting up your voice. And God is not finished yet. He will come and he will help you if you will put your trust in the Lord today. Hallelujah.